Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 21. We'll go from verse 20 to 38. If you have your own Bible, definitely open it. Your paper Bible or your Bible app, you'll need that today. We started this service at 1:30 p.m. It is now 3:25 p.m. My house is about 5 minutes by car from here. And some of you, I know, you've driven 30 minutes, 1 hour, and you come from far away. You take a train or a bus or a streetcar. Yeah. Has it been worth your time to come today?
Yeah.
Have you had enough?
No.
I'm full. I'm ready to go home. Yeah. I'll be honest. I could just pray the benediction and sayonara. We're good. However, there are people on the internet, on YouTube, and they're going to click on this message because they'll see the scripture. Luke 21, 20 to 38. They're going to read about the sun, moon, and stars, and wars, and famines, and, you know, people dying, and, you know, people losing heart, and Jesus is talking about very unusual things. And they're going to click this to see what, you know, we have to say. So I'll talk about that a little bit. Okay, and then we'll go home. Yeah? All right. Yeah, we'll go ahead and read together. It's long. It's from verse 20 to 38. So I'll begin, and then please join me at the middle from verse 29. So I'll read 20 to 28. Please join me from 29 to 38. Luke 21, verse 20. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women, nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people, and they will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. So let's read together. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. And when they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not, certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Each day, Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple. The very words of God. Amen. Well, over the last hour and a half of testimonies, and you already know this, but I'm saying this for those who are listening after today. We've heard stories of people who enjoyed being in nature, the healing, the refreshment. We heard testimonies of people looking at the moon and its beauty, and being in the mountains and just looking at the stars in the heavens and in wonder. And I have one story I would like to tell you about that. Is that okay? Okay, so my Lola had this expression. My Lola means grandmother in Tagalog, Filipino. And she had this expression, the stars come all the way down. And she told me this expression one day. I was in the Philippines. Our family has some property on a beach. And my Lolo, grandfather, he built a hut. He put in the plumbing, and he brought some electricity to the hut. And we could stay there as our family's private tropical resort. And I was there with my Lola, and it was my first night. And she said, you should go outside, sit in the hammock. The stars come all the way down. And so I went outside, and she was right. I grew up in Los Angeles, okay? There's one star, and it's high in the sky. Mars or something, Venus, yeah. So I'm on the beach, and I look, and the star, there's just, thousands of stars. I can't count. And they go all the way to the line where the sea meets the sky, you know? And I'm not looking up. I'm looking straight at the horizon, and there's stars everywhere. It's beautiful. Eh? Now, you have probably had a similar experience, maybe at night. You're in the countryside or at the beach or in the mountain, and you look and, wow, it's beautiful. Yeah, that's everybody in the world. The ancient people looked at the stars and the sun and the moon, and they thought, maybe it's more than just lights. Maybe it's more than just gas and rocks and, silence, right? So the Greeks and the Romans, they looked at the sky and they saw the gods. The Chinese, they looked at the sky and they saw the zodiac, the powers, right? God gives us his Bible. And he tells us the meaning of those stars. And we read from Psalm 19. I love that psalm, right? But God is saying, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, but they are signs. They are symbols. It's like you go to a restaurant, and these days, when you go to a restaurant, you have the menu. You open the menu, and it's the pictures of the food. Beautiful pictures, right? And you think, oh, I want this, I want that. You don't even read the words. You could just look at the pictures, and you could just say, kore kudasai, right? Yeah, kore kore. And it's enough. It's beautiful. The Bible says the stars, the planets, the sun, and the moon, that's the menu. Those are just the pictures of the reality. And what's happening in the stars is a picture of what God is going to do here. Now, it's beautiful, it's poetic, wow, that's really nice, but there's so much more. Because you and I are involved in what's happening in the skies. And not only that's happening up there, but that is affecting what happens to us here in very, very profound ways. So, last week I talked about Jerusalem, and Jesus is speaking in about the year 33 AD. And he's talking about someday the end of this city will come. It happened 40 years later in AD 70. Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, was revolting, rebelling against the Roman empire. And so Rome said, okay, you want to rebel? We will come and crush your city. So in the year AD 69, Rome came down to Jerusalem. They surrounded the city and they killed everyone in it. They burned down all of the buildings and they took all of the stones in the temple and they threw them all down. And we talked about that last week. And so at the beginning of what we read today, can you go back? Oh, I'm sorry, I have my pointer. What am I doing? Okay. So, So in verse 20, I have to turn it on, sorry. All right, so in verse 20, Jesus says, when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. And so if you're a pregnant woman, you have to get out. If you're a nursing mother, get as far away as you can. Don't go into the city. You're going to see Roman soldiers and centurions and horses and cow, and get away from the city because it's going to burn. And then he says something in verse 22. For this is the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written. Ah, what is he talking about? Written where? Written by who? What is written? Okay, we'll get to that in just a moment. In verse 23, it's dreadful. Great distress, the land and wrath against this people. And the people in Jerusalem will fall by the sword. Verse 24, they'll be taken as prisoners. Jerusalem will be trampled. Okay, and we continue. Verse 25, watch this. Verse 25, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. So what's happening in the cosmos is connected to what's happening here on earth. On earth, nations will be in anguish, perplexity in the roaring and tossing of the sea. And then what will people do? They'll panic. It's not just in Jerusalem. It's in Rome, it's in Greece, it's in Asia. It's across the seas, everywhere. They're going to see what's happening in the skies, and their hearts will melt. Okay. Apprehensive of what is coming on the world. And then in verse 26, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power, great glory. And when those things begin to take place, you who are following Jesus, you who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you who are a Christian, a disciple. Do you panic? Do your hearts melt? Do you run away? You stand. You lift up your head because your redemption is drawing near. Whew, love this. You see, the reason you don't melt in your heart, the reason you don't crumble and you're crushed by panic and fear, the reason why you don't do that is because you don't believe that destruction is the end. You don't believe in destruction. You believe in redemption. Your redemption is drawing near. Pastor Chris, what are you talking about? All right. I need you to go with me, okay? I'm going to get to you and your life in about 2 minutes. But first, let's go to the scripture, because this is very necessary to help you grow. So, what it says in, you can, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there, you can look at the screen. Jesus says in the verse 22, all that has been written. Well, what was written? Let me give you two examples. One example is in Isaiah chapter 24. Verse 1 through 6 is just the craziness of happening of things happening in the world. Behold, the Lord wastes the earth and leaves it in ruins. He will twist its surface and scatter its inhabitants. People and priests, servants and master, maid and mistress, buyer, seller, lender, borrower, creditor, everybody, all relationships, business relationships, family relationships, professional relationships, household relationships. The earth will be utterly laid waste and thoroughly plundered. The Lord has spoken. Verse 4. The earth mourns and withers. This is nature. The world languishes and fades. The exalted of the earth waste away. Even the greatest and richest people are falling. Verse 5. The earth is defiled by its people. They have transgressed the laws. They have overstepped the decrees and broken the everlasting covenant. Please notice verse 5. What is it saying? The reason the world is being destroyed has a connection with the way that we have been relating to each other. We have been dominating each other, subjugating each other, conquering each other, sending bombs on each other. And as a result, something is happening in our world. But look at verse 6. A curse has consumed the earth. Its inhabitants must bear the guilt. The earth's dwellers have been burned, and only a few survive. And then here is a powerful expression at the end of verse 6. The windows of heaven are open. The foundations of the earth are shaken. From the skies to the ground, the heavens are open. And the foundations are being shaken. But it continues. Please follow with me. The earth is utterly broken. Verse 20, the earth staggers like a drunkard. And then verse 21, in that day, the Lord will punish the people. It says, the host of heaven above and the kings of the earth below. They will be gathered together like prisoners in a pit. They will be confined to a dungeon and punished after many days. The moon will be confounded and the sun will be ashamed. Bottom line, big picture. What is happening on earth, the chaos, the craziness, that is only a small part of what is happening in the cosmos. Please stay with me. The craziness on earth is just a small part of the destruction of the cosmos. Now, Pastor Chris, what is the cosmos? Do you mean the space? Do you mean the universe? More than that. The cosmos is a word that describes not only the skies and the chemicals and the universe. The cosmos is a word that describes what's behind the stars and the moon and the sun. The cosmos is the... Okay. No, it's okay. They're good. Yeah, you're fine. It's okay. The cosmos. No. Where was I? Okay, so... I'm a junior high teacher. I can do this. No, I mean... So there's the physical world, right? And then there's the metaphysical world. There is the material reality, and then there is the spiritual reality. Are you with me? So, the cosmos is not only the planets and the stars. The cosmos is the spiritual reality that they represent. They are the signs, okay? So when the ancient people, including the people who wrote the Bible, the ancient people saw, beautiful, powerful, amazing, they understood behind that are beings, supernatural, immaterial, metaphysical, cannot be seen, but they affect and they influence the physical, the material. It's happening in the skies, and they are influencing what's happening on the earth. This, what I just showed you, Isaiah 24, we don't have time, but there's also from Isaiah 34. Look at verse 4, Isaiah 34. All the stars of heaven will be dissolved. The skies will be rolled up like a scroll. All their stars will fall like withered leaves from the vine, like foliage from the fig tree. The chaos happening in the earth is only a picture of the chaos happening in the heavens. And the reason for this is because God is going to make everything new. I had to go through some bad news, because in order to know the good news, you need to understand the bad news. This is Isaiah 34, verse 24. You can read from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers. You could read from Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, all the history of the Old Testament. You could read from Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Amos, Micah, Habakkuk, all the way to Malachi, all of the prophets. You can read in Psalms, in Proverbs, in Job, in Ecclesiastes. All of these books have these same language. And what they're saying is, they are a picture of what God is going to do here. Here's what happened. God made the world good. God made the cosmos good. It's beautiful. It's majestic. The powers in the sky, the spiritual beings in the heavens, they went against their maker. They rebelled against God, not only in the heaven, but also on the earth. Are you still with me? Okay? So all of those powers which rule, those powers are behind the governments. They are underneath the nations. They're the ones influencing all of the powers, the authorities. And God is saying, I'm coming. You ruined it. I made it. You broke it. But I am not going to give up on it. I'm going to make it new. Are you with me now? Yes. Now let's get to some good news, okay? So, when Jesus says in Luke chapter 21, and he says, you can lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. What is he saying? Verse 28. Here it is. Okay, I'm going to decreate the world in order to recreate the world, okay? Do you see there in verse 25, the tossing of the sea, okay? The sea should remind you of chaos, of nothing. Land is something you can stand on. Land is firm. You can build a home on land. in the sea, right? So what was the first, when in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it was the sea. The Spirit of God was over the waters. It was chaos. It was nothing. God made the land. God made the mountains. God made the cosmos. We broke it. In Genesis chapter 6, God brought more water. Noah and the flood. God decreated the world in order to make it new. Okay? Jesus is pointing to that. And now Jesus says, when God put the rainbow in the sky, he promised he's not going to decreate the world with water. Next is what? Fire, right? And so it's going to be crazy. But in order to recreate the world, I have to decreate it first. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. All right. So the good news is we're involved in that. God is going to wipe this all away in order to make it all new. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, new Jerusalem. Where do we fit in? So, yeah, I'm getting there. Okay. So, when he makes this, so I'm sorry. This is all in my head. It's in there somewhere, but I have to get to it. All right, if you're on the internet, just fast forward 10 seconds on YouTube. So he's going to make things new. And he's going to break it down. When he breaks it down, it's going to come back. He's going to come on the clouds. Now, we can move past that. Okay. Yes, okay. Now, okay, I'm back. Okay, so... maybe you're thinking this. You've probably thought this before. I have. Okay. If all of this is going to burn, what is the point? If the trees are going to go down, the water is going to get dirty, the mountains are going to melt, everything's going to... Why do I have to recycle my garbage? Why do I have to make sure the water is clean? Why do I have to bother with a hybrid car and have to worry about, you know, global warming? It's all going to be washed away. Why should I care? Just throw it away, whatever. Why should I care about these people? They don't know God. They don't care about God. It's all going to be washed away. Why should I care? Here's what Jesus is teaching us. Your attitude about this world now, that is the seed of your attitude about the next world. Okay? If you have a certain way of thinking with this planet, with this heaven and this earth, that is just a small part of how you're going to think about the new heaven, the new earth. If you don't care about this world that I gave you now, guess how you're going to feel about the next one? Christian, follower of God, disciple, you should be at the front of environmental issues. You should be right there at the very front of people who are trying to make the world new, because that's what God is all about. He makes the world new. What did Jesus do when he was here? 33 years. He was healing people. He was making people physically well. He was opening the eyes of the blind. He was making people walk. He put people alive again. People were dead. This little girl was dead. He goes into her room. He says, "Sweetheart, it's time to wake up." She was dead. And then poor Lazarus, his friend. Lazarus. I feel sorry for him because he had to die twice, right? Could you imagine? He's sick, he's coughing, he has a fever, he's suffering, he's dead. How long? 4 days. 4 days, he's dead. And then Jesus says, hey, come out of there, Lazarus. And the Bible says the dead man came to life. Yeah, the problem is he had to die again, right? Why did Jesus bother? They're all going to die anyway. Why did Jesus help people? Why did Jesus feed people? Why did Jesus heal them? Because the kingdom of God is coming. He's showing us what it's going to be in the new heaven and the new earth. This is a picture. This is an image. This is the menu of what's going to come. Jesus says, I'm bringing wholeness, fullness. I'm bringing healing. I'm bringing redemption. But before that happens, there's a destruction. So when you see the signs in the skies and on the earth, lift up your head. The redemption is drawing near. The new heaven, the new earth is coming. And that's what you're waiting for. I love what we were singing. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. But before that, we were singing, and when I think, excuse me. Consider, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. And then it goes on. What's the last verse? When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart? And I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, how God, how great thou art. That's when Jesus returns and brings redemption. There needs to be a breaking before there is a healing. There is a destruction and decreation before there is a recreation. Japan has the perfect cultural image of what's going to happen in redemption. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to bring it all the way down. Yuki, could you bring it to the kintsugi? How many of you are familiar with kintsugi? Please raise your hand if you know kintsugi. I just want to know. Okay, so some of you don't. Great. Let me tell you about kintsugi, okay? I'm very excited. In Japan, there is the art of kintsugi. Kin, gold, tsugi, bonding, okay? And so basically it's an ancient art form. You have a cup or a pot or a vase made of clay. You have an accident and it's broken. And you have pieces on the ground. So what they do is now this cup or this bowl, it's worthless. You can't use it. You loved it, it was beautiful, it was a work of art, but now it's garbage. But if you take it to an artist, a master, he'll put the pieces back together with glue, okay? A kind of just glue to keep it together. And then, even though it's back together, there are cracks, and it's still not even. And you think, oh, it's still ugly. So the artist, what he does is he takes a gold leaf or gold paint, okay, with actual gold, and he doesn't hide the cracks, but he highlights the deficiencies, right? And now what happens? The finished product, it is actually worth more now than when it was brand new. It was valuable when it was first made. It was broken and it's garbage. But now that it's made new again, it's worth more than when it was first made. in the beginning. Are you with me? That is redemption. That's what Jesus is going to do with the skies, with the earth, with us. Lift up your head. Your redemption is drawing near. You are going to be worth more after you've been put back together. The earth is going to be worth more when it's put back together, more than when it was brand new in Genesis. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. All right. I'm full. I'm good. I'm done. All right. There was more in Jesus' message, but we'll get to it next time. Okay. Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we trust you. You're in control. And we don't know when, but we see what's happening in the world, and maybe it's going to be soon. Lord Jesus, please help us to be ready. Help us to be praying and watching. Help us to be working and serving and giving and loving. And help us to be hoping and waiting for your return. This is what we pray for in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, shall we all rise as we sing our closing song together? How great thou art? Yeah, sounds good to me. All right.
My God, when I also wonder, consider all the world the high has made. I see the star, I hear the lonely thunder, thy pass throughout the universe is spread. Then sing down from lonely mountain wander and see the brook and feel the gentry breathe. Then sing my soul, my Savior, to thee. My soul, my Savior, to thee.
pray. And now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your entire spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you all for coming today. God bless you. Have a great week. Amen.